we seem to have a bias towards these large animals and especially large predators. What do you think the reason behind that is? Why do we romanticize these large animals?
Probably because they're in our stories. We learn about them as soon as we can. Goldilocks and the Three Bears or Winnie the Pooh. I mean, these are our kind of cultural mores, essentially, which is a good and a bad thing. It gives us a familiarity with them. But in the case of the wolf, I don't think it does the living animal any favors to cast as the bad guy. For example, with the lynx, I think it not being in our cultural space at all might be to its benefit.
Yeah, why is that? To be honest, I didn't know lynx used to live in the UK until I grew up a bit, but I knew bears and wolves did. So why are lynx kind of overlooked throughout the UK history and culture?
Yeah, that's a good question. Extinction of lynx is, our best guess is somewhere around, you know, 8th or 9th century AD. So yeah, that's post-Roman invasion, almost having a semi-literate society. But they would have always been secretive. They would always have been hiding away in the woodland. Not many people would have seen them. Unlike bears and wolves, where even if bears went extinct before lynx, which is probable, maybe an Iron Age extinction for brown bears, people would always have had them around. The Romans brought them over for their games. We've always had the dancing bears as part of our kind of entertainments. Bear baiting, zoos, or traveling menageries have almost had bears as well. Haven't sort of slipped out of cultural memory in the same way that maybe the lynx. And the same wolves, as long as we've had dogs around, we've had a kind of next door, essentially, that's kept them in our consciousness.
I remember you mentioning that the wolves and lynx were exterminated by humans in the UK around the medieval times. And before then, we managed to coexist with both of these predators. So I'm just wondering what changed during the medieval time for them to suddenly be persecuted.
So certainly for the lynx, so like 8th, 9th century, around about that time, we have changes in land use. So a lot of kind of wood felling and, you know, expansion of farmland to feed the population. So that has a double effect of reducing habitat for the lynx and also bringing them into contact with people more, which is always dangerous. But the wolves, you know, it's a slightly later extinction. So maybe even 16th, 17th, 18th century. It's hard to say. There's not really any solid evidence. But there, it's probably to do with, again, changes in land use. So we have increasing kind of agglomeration of farms into much larger entities. We have movement of people from the countryside to the urban centers. All these things that encourage persecution because you don't want wolves eating your sheep or at your house.
And for the lynx, what is your prediction for them to be legally reintroduced back into the UK?
I won't make a prediction, but I think of all the potential reintroduced animal, it's the one most likely to happen. It just needs a bit of political will and public buy-in. If we can get people excited and interested in the idea of lynx reintroduction, that'll go a long way to making it reality. There are many groups and organizations looking into the feasibility of it, some more successfully than others, but the information is trickling out there. And I'm hopeful that within the next 10 years, we'll at least see a pilot project to look at the feasibility of it, something similar to the beaver trial in the sense that went on over the past 2 decades. I'm hopeful, but I don't want to get stuck at making a prediction that will jinx things.
Yeah, don't want to jinx the lynx.
No.
I was just wondering if there's any other examples of the Eurasian lynx being reintroduced or just coming back from the brink in maybe some nearby neighbours, such as you mentioned Iberian lynx, but specifically the Eurasian.
They've had a successful reintroduction in Switzerland. They went extinct there a few centuries ago and have been reintroduced in the past 50 or so years to produce a stable, viable population. They've tried reintroducing them into parts of southern Germany. I can't remember exactly how successful that's been. But again, also there is kind of natural expansion of some of their range. It's very fragmented across most of Western Europe. So France, Germany, Switzerland, these aren't joined up populations. I think the kind of Russian population is quite large, connected. The Scandinavian population is quite large as well, although it can be legally hunted there at certain times.
Yeah. And how big are their territories?
I don't 100% know, actually. I mean, they are solitary, so they keep themselves apart during breeding season. Okay, so tell me here, so about lynx density is about 1 per 100 kilometer square in Switzerland, up to 4 per 100 kilometer square in Russia. So, yeah.
I thought it'd be more dense in Switzerland than in Russia. Or is that just because population?
I think it very much depends on prey density as well. So,
yeah.
Where there's more prey, they'll support more lynx.
1 per 100 kilometers squared is... Yeah. How would that relate to the size of, say, Scotland? If there's 1 to 4 per 100 kilometers square.
You're talking about total numbers that are under 30, probably.
Wow.
That's probably going to be enough. But we know from looking at the Iberian lynx, inbreeding's not really a problem. That their diversity is essentially zero, but they're quite happy. I don't know if anyone's looked at that in Eurasian lynx, but I don't anticipate it being a massive issue for them.
Is that population also due to the fact that would they be classed as the apex predator? They'd be kind of at the top of the food chain, so there wouldn't be a bigger...
Iberian lynx?
Eurasian.
Well, they would be in this country. There should be nothing bigger than them until Wolfram Bear come back. I'm sure Wolfram Bear would occasionally kill lynx if they come across it. It's with leopard, or they overlap a range as well.
Say there's roughly 30 in Scotland, for example. Would that be enough to deal with the population of deer in Scotland?
Probably not enough to deal with it completely, but if each individual is taking one deer a week or so, then that look these numbers out there.
Yeah.
It would definitely make a dent. More importantly, the effect it might have on deer behavior as well, to have an actual carnivore around. You know, from studies in Yellowstone where they ranged just wolves, the effect they had on the behavior of herbivores there were significant and caused them to stop, to be more skittish and jittery. So they never stayed too long in one place. And that's a real problem in Scotland. When they stay too long in one place, they just eat everything. If they can be forced to move along more often, that might give things a chance to grow back.
Yeah. And how much more effective would a lynx be who's evolved to hunt a deer, smell a deer or hear a deer and track it, compared to a human just using their eyes with a gun? Yeah. And the lynx would be doing it basically day and night.
Yeah.
And humans sometimes do it as a sport. So it'd just be much more effective.
Absolutely. There's nothing more effective than natural predation. You can never really replace that.
Yeah. And also the fact that, like you said, it maybe would kill not that many per week, but the knock-on effect of just a deer seeing a lynx and learning, oh, I need to run away from that, you know, because if they're doing it every single day and most hours of the day, even if they don't hunt all the deer are going to learn to fly, like run away much more often to the even maybe sound of a tree snapping or a human. Yeah. So it's definitely going to have a positive knock-on effect.
Yeah, you know, these animals set marker to cover the territory and leave signals for the deer to be aware of.